This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're broke, you're kind of selfish.
Money will no longer be valuable. So what will money be? Now we have a decentralized form of remittance that gives us the ability within a few years to become extremely wealthy in this period of time.
I just put out a tweet a couple days ago talking about inflation increased the cost by $32,000. So for the average worker at $32 an hour, which is the median pay, it was taking them about 300 extra hours per year to have the same quality of life that they had the year before. So 300 Insane. Hours per year of your life. That's your life that you could be in the gym getting in shape, with your kids teaching them lessons, with your wife building your relationship. 300 hours of your life, your energy.
Expended for the same thing that was last year.
Yeah.
And what I came to realize is we were talking about going back to the creating part, multiplying and preserving of wealth. The multiplication factor, people need to realize I need to stop expending my time and my energy for dollars. That's the process of building gardens or ecosystems where money works and makes itself, is it no longer requires time and energy to make it. If we go into the Louis Vuitton store and I go with somebody that makes $1,000 a month, they're gonna look at a Louis Vuitton wallet that's worth $500 differently than me. Because to me, $500, it didn't require any time, energy, or intention for me to make it. This person, it required 3 weeks of time and or 2 weeks of time, energy, and attention. So yeah, they'll value the wallet in direct proportion to the amount of effort and labor that it took them to produce what? The necessary energy to purchase that wallet.
Right.
So now I'm no longer in the premise of, is this cheap or is this expensive? How much energy and lifespan and time did it take me to acquire that thing? Because you don't buy things in life, hear me clearly, you don't buy things in life with money. You buy things in life with the time that it takes you to make that money. So the objective of multiplying your wealth is to be in a situation where you no longer work for money, but you work towards creating systems that create money, giving you the freedom so that you can use your energy to do what you want in life.
Yeah. Let me ask you about this. If you think about money, I say that we don't want money. Nobody wants money. What we want is the goods and services that money buys us. But if you think about money, for example, it's like a exchange of value. It represents value exchange. So I could say, hey, Luke, let me come over to your house and help you move this weekend. Or hey, let me come build a fence for you. Or let me paint your house. Or let me build a website for you. If I, as a friend, were to say, hey, I'm going to help you move this weekend, then I would have built goodwill with you. And you would sort of owe me a favor back, right? We're not going to write it on paper, but like maybe you would help me do something.
A social credit,
right? Yeah. So then really by me providing you value, it's sort of like a favor. And now you give me an IOU that you owe me a favor, some value in the future. But that's like a barter system. So if we want to scale past the barter system, then we need something, a sort of IOU that I could go to give somebody else. So the dollar sort of represents an IOU. So I've built you a fence. I helped you move. You give me an IOU that's recognizable. It's a medium of exchange to get other favors from other people.
Yes.
And if you think about that philosophically, then I'm going to say something people don't like to hear. And that means that if you're broke, you're kind of selfish. How much goodwill have you put into the world? How many IOU slips are you sitting on? In that barter environment, if I helped you move and you move and you move and I built you a fence and you a website and I collected all these favor IOU statements, the person that had the most amount of favor IOUs, you would say, man, that guy's really generous.
Because you get paid in proportion to the value that you provide.
Bingo.
And the thing is, the marketplace will pay you in proportion to that. So if you have no value to provide, it's either you don't know how to provide value or nobody can see the value you can provide because either you don't showcase it or it's just not there. I agree fully.
Yeah. It's an interesting way to look at it. When you look at it from a philosophical angle, let's talk about it now from like a more of a, we'll stay on the philosophical, but let's look at it from like a freedom angle. Now, I have often said many times, and I strongly believe, that there is no freedom without the freedom to transact. And really, it starts with the freedom of private property. So back to me being able to store my value, store my energy, that's my first form of private property. Do I store it in dollars or Bitcoin or gold, or do I store it in a ranch with cows? However I decide I want to store that, that's my life battery. So that's my property. And if you take that cow from me or take my money from me, that's my life. You're literally stealing it. But then the freedom starts with being able to control the private property, but then more importantly, be able to transact. And so we see today that the governments of the world want to continue to impede that ability for us to transact freely. And I'm curious your point of view coming from Argentina. Argentina is sort of the textbook example today of sort of a society breaking down and hyperinflation where people couldn't even hold their money anymore. And as I was with you and your team in Spain last year, I was told that I wasn't really aware of this. Like, you're not even allowed to spend much of your money. So I think
you're not even allowed to spend. You have X amount of dollars that you can withdraw per month.
But I think maybe it was Yemi from your team said like you couldn't even spend more than $300 a month on your credit card.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Because or they would exchange at a very high rate, 700 to one or something like that, right? So like they wouldn't even allow you to spend your own they wouldn't allow you to spend your own money. Capital controls lock you in, and then they would just continue to steal from you.
And the crazy part is people need to understand that the money system isn't just an accounting system. It's a tool of power. So when the coinage was created, for example, 700, year 700, around BC 700, I think it was, in Turkey, that was the first introduction of the coin, right? So coin, just like Bitcoin, it's not money, it's technology. It's technology of what? The remittance of value. That's all it is. So the coin was the standardized remittance of value from A to B. I could actually move it. How would you make a cow divisible?
Right.
If I want to sell you a ranch and it's going to cost me 19.5 cows, it makes no sense because now I have half a cow that's worthless. So it's no scalability in that idea. So now I have money. And as soon as money came into the side of like coinage, you begin to see barons, kings, people that could actually hold currency and had some sort of, in this case, back in the day, it would be army that could sustain their sovereignty. You would do quite well with coinage. The issue with coins is that they began to get debased. So they introduced metals that would debase the currency. So for example, Rome, let's say they conquered the entire known world and they had no more kingdoms to conquer. Therefore, no more gold production. Therefore, no more economic growth. So they had to debase the currency. The issue with that is that now you no longer know what's legit. You no longer know what's false. Remember how there's this verse in the Bible that says that God abhors the misbalancing of weights.
Right.
Because back in the day, gold wasn't measured by units, it was measured by weight. So everything had to have a fair balance. Now we have the introduction of the fiat system, which was initially a physical representation of the gold.
It was an IOU.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now the IOU got overprinted, bullshit. Now the government got into bed with this entire scam, i.e. the introduction of Bitcoin, which goes back to the bartering system, but with the technological advancement of no middleman necessary. What happens in society, especially with governments, is the new technological advancement produces a temporary period of time of sovereignty. So when coinage came, new barons rose, new sheikhs rose, new czars came into power, new money. Same thing happened with the radio. As soon as the radio was introduced into the house, one of the big criteria for the government to control every single outlet on the news, which was the source of technological transformation, the radio. As soon as the internet came, we had a few years of what? Internet freedom, where people could look up information, see all the details, boom, then censorship. You had that technological period of boom, where people got free. And now you're in a situation where you had social media come into play. Social media came into play. They censored social media really deeply, but now you have the cracking of social media. So people, there's technological advancements that produce what? Freedom. So if you look at the etymological use of the word to think or thinking, it was extremely popular pre-introduction of the radio in the household. So people used to think freely prior to the government coming into the house. As soon as the radio came into the house, you can look up the etymological use of the word and the popularity of it, to think, thought, freedom of thought. The moment the radio was introduced into the house, that use of word went down. People stopped to think. When did that word begin to emerge again? The moment the internet became placed in the house. So a sheik of freedom and truth and thinking. Once again, now you have the introduction of new technology, which is what? Bitcoin on the monetary side, which is the disruption of the financial system that we've been under for the last 100 years. So now people are waking up and they're like, oh, there's something else. Whether Bitcoin is the future or not is not relevant. What happens is that Bitcoin showed that there is another way of transacting outside of the now controlled technology of remittance. Now we have a decentralized form of remittance that gives us the ability within a few years before they have digital IDs and ID me and all this garbage to access the internet, a few years to become extremely wealthy in this period of time because we have this technological differentiator. So if people understand technology frees you, and then technology gets controlled, and technology frees you again, and technology gets controlled, your job is to figure out what's the next pocket of technology I can take advantage of for my next power play. So if you look at the future, what are you going to need? You're going to need autonomous AI that runs off of your scripts, not off of somebody else's scripts. You're going to need unmanned machines that work specifically for you. That's the technological advancement. That's part of the future. So money, in my opinion, will eventually become obsolete. When I have bots, when I have robots, when I have AI working for me, half of the jobs are not going to be commercially viable. Maybe it's not 10 years, 20 years, but in 50 years, we will get there. So money will no longer be valuable. So what will money be? And that's where the question becomes store of value and things of this nature. But technology is always evolving, always moving, but it always comes down to the transactions of goods and services. Yeah.